We are continuing through our look through the book of Proverbs, and we are in the section of Proverbs where there are a lot of random proverbs that deal with many different topics. And what we're going to see as we go through from here, that there, of course, there are a lot of overlap in many of these topics, and even many of the proverbs. Proverbs, you know, don't deal with, you know, restrictedly only one topic, but just like in life, one topic has to do with another. And so not only will we see a repetition of Proverbs that we've already looked at, looking at them in sort of a slightly different angle from here on out, but we'll also see topics that bleed over into one another. And in fact, in retrospect, there's a lot that Proverbs say about relationships. And so even when we looked at words a couple weeks ago, that has to do with relationships, of course. And there are other general principles that the Proverbs deal with regarding our human relationships that we're going to look at later. And in retrospect, I wish we would have flip-flopped these and done those ones before this one, because the topic we're looking at today sort of builds on some of those. But the topic for today is a little more specific than just general relationships. It's friendships. Proverbs talk about friendships. And Proverbs, we're going to look at four things that I think we learn and that Proverbs talk about in friendships. Is first, the value of friendships. Second, the influence of friendships. Third, the qualities of friendships. And then fourth, the limits of friendships. The value of friendships. We need friendships. We need good, healthy, close relationships with other people in life that helps us to sort of navigate the challenges of life, and that helps us get the resources we need to get through life. And not just to live and survive life, but to thrive in life, in a world that is filled with challenges and obstacles that we often can't overcome on our own. We need other people. We don't have everything we need within ourselves. And we need relationships with others to get through those things and to overcome those obstacles. We need friends. And not only do we need friends, but we want friends, right? Most people want friends. Friends, we know, add value and joy to life. They give companionship and to us. They ease the loneliness and isolation that it's all too easy in life to gravitate towards and settle into. We need friends. We need good friends. We want friends. We want good friends. And I believe that is one of the underlying beliefs in Proverbs about friendships, that good friends add value to life. Friendships are valuable. We can't go it alone in life, but that the quality of our relationships and the community that we're in is essential to our lives and our well-beings. Proverbs teach us that friendship is valuable. And one of the Proverbs we looked at a couple weeks ago that talks about this is Proverbs 15:17. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. And we looked at this previously in talking about how loving relationships are more valuable even than riches and wealth. And friendship here, what this proverb is saying is that friendship is so valuable that if you have the choice between eating mushy broccoli with loving friends or eating the finest of steak without, it's saying choose the broccoli. I mean, friendship must be pretty valuable if it can make mushy broccoli taste better than the finest of steak, right? That's what this proverb is trying to convey. That loving friendships, loving relationships are extraordinarily valuable to life, more valuable than many of the other things we would tend to assign value to. Don't underestimate the value of friendship. And another proverb, it compares friendship and its benefits to sort of the finer things of life, things that at that time especially were costly and rare, but brought great joy to the heart and increased the goodness of life. Proverbs 27:9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Friendship brings pleasantness to life. The pleasantness that it brings, the closeness and intimacy from which form the context from which that heartfelt advice that the proverb talks about comes, it brings joy to our hearts that on their own can grow discouraged and can grow weary. Friendship is valuable, and that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's been since the beginning. When God created Adam in the garden, even though Adam was living in unhindered fellowship and communion with God, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Even then, humanity needed friendship. And of course, the primary specific application of that in that context was God's provision of marriage to meet that not good thing of being alone. But that's not the only way that, as we see in Scripture and in life, that's not the only way that God provides for the and makes provision for the easing of humanity's loneliness. Friendship does. Community does. And with the entrance of sin into the world, friendship with God was lost through the separation of fellowship between God and man, and humanity is being banished from the garden, the place of God's presence. But not only that, but also friendship between people, one another, was separated because of sin. And in God's gracious work of redemption, he's restoring fellowship between himself and sinners, and not only that, but between sinner and sinner, so that in eternity, at the completion of God's work of redemption, we will, in eternity, will be perfectly restored friends with God and with one another, the people of God who love one another perfectly for all eternity. Friendship is valuable. It's part of God's design, but it can also, unfortunately, be rare. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? Friendship is valuable, but like so many things of value in life, it's rare. It can be hard to find. It doesn't come easily. True friendship is hard to find, and often, in fact, we don't just find friendship, we have to build friendship, and friendship is hard to build. It's hard to maintain. It's hard for it to survive the challenges that our sin bring into the picture and the conflict that comes as a result of that. It's hard to overcome the attitudes that we can have of busyness or individualism that impede us from placing the value on friendship that translates into making the effort for friendship. Friendship takes effort. It doesn't just happen. Friendship is valuable, but friendship is rare. And not all friendship is created equal. Proverbs recognizes the value of friendship, but also there are good friends and there are bad friends. And Proverbs recognizes the huge difference that a good friend can make in your life as opposed to a bad friend. So we see not only the value of friendships, but the influence of friendships. Not all friendships are created equal, and so it's important to have the right kind of friends. And that's especially important when we understand that the influence that the right friends and the wrong friends can have on us. Let me read a few Proverbs that talk about this. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 16:29, a violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. You see, Proverbs recognizes the influence that friends can have on us for good or for bad. Friends can influence you in the wrong way. Having close friends that don't share your values, or more importantly, don't share God's values, brings the risk that we will slowly begin to embrace those values, that they will rub off on us. And I don't think the Proverbs is suggesting that that means we should never interact with people that have different values than we do. But that when we do, we ought to be aware of the potential for influence, and not only be aware of it, but resist embracing that those different values that differ from God's values. But not only that, we should seek to influence those around us towards the right ends. Proverbs warns against sinful influence, but they also commend godly influence. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Friendship ought to make us better people. The friends we have ought to influence us in the right way. And we, as a friend, ought to seek to influence others along the right path. Wisdom and godliness both are community pursuits. We do it together, and friends are one of the tools that God gives us along that path. And you notice in this proverb, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, that I think this proverb, the idea it's conveying is that friendships that have the right kind of influence are mutually beneficial relationships. This proverb isn't just one friend telling a different person what they ought to do all the time, but these are two friends who mutually give and receive help and guidance and counsel and wisdom and encouragement to one another. And the reason this is needed and important, the reason that friends ought to seek to influence one another in the right direction along the right path, is because on our own, we grow dull. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. In other words, we need sharpening sometimes. On our own, we can grow dull in our motivation and strength and resolve and sense of direction and passion to serve God. And not only in our passion to serve God, but of our knowledge of how to serve God. We can all grow dull. And so we need to have friends who can sharpen us in those things. And we ought to seek to be friends who can sharpen others in those things. And so Proverbs recognizes the influence of friendship and the importance of having the right kind of friends. The right kind of friend, even if you only have a few, is more beneficial and more important than the wrong kind of friend, even if you have quite a lot. Proverbs prioritizes the quality of friends over the quantity of friends. Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And the contrast between the two lines of that proverb is between friends and a friend, many friends and one friend. And it's saying that you can have many friends that are the wrong type of friends, and that's going to not help you. In fact, it could harm you, but on the other hand, you could have just one friend that's the right kind of friend, and that can be of great benefit to you. And I think it's safe to say that our culture prioritizes quantity over quality. It prioritizes popularity and fame and lots of friends over the quality of the friends that we do have and the kind of friend that we seek to be. And the goal, then, Proverbs is telling us, isn't to have a lot of friends, but the goal is to have the right kind of friends. And not only to have the right kind of friends, but to seek to be the right kind of friend. And so Proverbs tells us not only of the value of friendships, the influence of friendships, it tells us about the qualities of friendships, of what kind of friend you ought to try to be, and what kind of friend you ought to try to seek, and what kind of friend you ought to try to avoid. And so Proverbs tells us about the qualities of friendships. When I was, years ago, I did campus ministry, and I talked with college students about things going on in their lives, and one of the things that goes on in the life of a college student is they have roommate issues often. And every once in a while, though, you talk to a college student who's on their fourth roommate transitioning to their fifth roommate. And sometimes it's that they really just haven't found a good roommate or the right person yet. But sometimes the thought hasn't occurred that maybe the problem isn't out there with the other person, but is here with you. The problem wasn't that they weren't finding the right kind of roommate, but that they weren't being the right kind of roommate. And so when we think about friendship, we need to consider the same thing, that as much as we want to seek to find the right kind of friends, we need to seek to be the right kind of friend. And so the first and primary quality of friendship that the Proverbs commends then is faithfulness. And it contrasts faithful friends to fair weather friends, phony friends, and fake friends. Fair weather friends are friends who are only friends when the weather is nice, right? They're fickle, and as soon as the weather turns stormy, they're gone. They only stick around during good times or easy times so that they can't be relied on when you need them most. And if you rely on a fair weather friend when you need them most, then you're going to be let down in your time of greatest need because they can't be relied on. Let me read a couple Proverbs that talk about this. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 20, verse 6, which we've already read. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find. Proverbs 25:19. Like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. You see, faithful friends are most needed. Friendship is most needed in times of trouble and difficulty in life. When you need that extra encouragement or help or support or guidance, and when the messiness of life spills out into the lives of those around you who are supposed to, you know, bear that burden and care for you and help you when you need it the most. But fair weather friends don't do that. They can't be relied upon. And, you know, most friends don't advertise themselves as unfaithful. Quite the opposite. That proverb says many claim to have unfailing love. It's easy to claim faithfulness, but it's much harder to follow through on it because faithfulness is needed most when it's hardest to be faithful. Faithful friends are what we need, a friend whose love is unfailing and enduring and persists and can be counted on in the times when we need it most, who sticks with you through it all. Faithful friends are contrasted to fair weather friends. They're also contrasted to phony friends. Phony friends who are only after something and in the friendship only to benefit themselves, to get something, gain something from it. And in the sermons last couple weeks on money and wealth and poverty, I skipped over a couple proverbs that deal with money and wealth and poverty because I think they're trying to make a point about how money or the lack of it can complicate friendship by potentially attracting the wrong kind of friends or by making it hard to know who is a true friend and who is a phony friend. Proverbs 14:20. The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. Proverbs 19:4, wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friend of the poor person deserts them. Proverbs 19:6, many curry favor with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of one who gives gifts. Proverbs 19:7, the poor are shunned by all their relatives. How much more do their friends avoid them? Though the poor pursue them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. And these proverbs, I think, sound a little harsh, really. And I've mentioned before that some proverbs describe the way things are, what things are like sometimes, without condoning them as though that's how they ought to be, and not certainly without commanding that that's how we try to be. And that's the case with these proverbs. They aren't saying that it's a good thing that wealth attracts friends, only that that's the way things are sometimes. That's the way things work sometimes. And actually, it's rather than commending that, they're warning about that. That if you suddenly come into some money, some people you might haven't heard from for a while might start knocking on your door or calling your phone. And in that case, what these proverbs are warning about is don't be naive, because their motives might be selfish. They might be phony friends who really don't have an interest in being your friend, because being a friend means embracing someone in their need and in their lack, and not only when you have something to gain from being friends with them. Being a friend means seeing how you can bless somebody, not just what you can get from somebody. But phony friends don't have interest in any of that, but only have interest in having friends who can give them something. And on the other hand, these proverbs certainly are not saying that the poor ought to be shunned by friends and neighbors and family. Of course not, especially in light of the proverbs we looked at last week that say that that is a sinful thing to do. But what they're doing is they're saying that's the way it is sometimes, especially if you have the wrong kind of friends in your life. Especially if you have the wrong kind of friends who, once they find out that you can't give them something, they ditch you. Whether or not money is the thing at issue, these proverbs warn us that sometimes there are friends who have selfish motivations, but they hide that behind phony friendship which they use to advantage themselves. And so watch out for that kind of friend, and don't be that kind of friend. Proverbs contrasts faithful friends to fair-weather friends who are only there during the easy and good times, to phony friends who have selfish motivations behind friendship, and it contrasts it to fake friends. Fake friends who aren't honest. Fake friends who aren't upfront with you and can't be trusted. Maybe they say one thing to your face, but another thing behind your back, or they speak out of both sides of their mouth to use people against each other or win people to their side. Whatever it is, they can't be trusted. And we talked about this a bit when we talked about Proverbs on gossip and slander. But Proverbs also, we didn't talk as much about another thing that characterizes here the fake friend, and that is flattery. Proverbs 28:23, whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than one who has a flattering tongue. Proverbs 29:5, those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. You see, instead of encouragement that builds someone else up according to their need, flattery is insincere praise, and that is often used as a self-serving tactic that seeks to puff somebody up so that I can gain their favor and use it to my advantage. And Proverbs describes it as a trap. Instead, Proverbs commands honesty, characterized by grace. Proverbs 27:5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. And Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. It commends honesty that's characterized by grace rather than flattery that's dressed up friendship. And while the Proverbs would certainly never commend a critical nature, an argumentative spirit, true friends overlook much and don't go around pointing others' flaws out all their time. They aren't overly critical or argumentative, but sometimes friendship involves being willing to give and being willing to receive criticism. True friendship needs honesty, even if that honesty might at times be hard to hear. If you've ever had the experience where you were having dinner with friends, say, and you're eating salad and food or whatever, and then, you know, you're eating with your friends, and then you get home, and you happen to look in the mirror, and you see a big, ugly, green piece of lettuce or some kind of food sticking right in the middle of your front teeth. And you think, I wish someone would have told me that was there, right? Because I couldn't see it. And that's why Proverbs warns about fake friends and commends true friends who speak with honesty and grace. Because there are things about us, ourselves, that we can't see. And we want to see them, though, hopefully. We have the humility to want to see them. And hopefully we have the friends that are willing to point that out to us sometimes, even when it might be uncomfortable or embarrassing or a hurt on our pride. True friends need to be honest. And this leads to our next quality of friendship that we see in Proverbs. The first quality that commends is faithfulness, and the next quality is love and kindness. I'm going to just read a few Proverbs that commend love and kindness in friendship. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Proverbs 11:6, a kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Proverbs 11:7, those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. 14:21, it is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. 17:9, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. 19:22, what a person desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. 20:6, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find. Proverbs 21:10, the wicked crave evil. Their neighbors get no mercy from them. Proverbs 22:11, one who loves with a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. Kindness, graciousness, mercy, love, these are all qualities that are commended in Proverbs. Friendship, you see, is it created in the making known of needs and the meeting of those needs in love and kindness. And that's one of the reasons I think that friendship is hard. Because in order for friendship to progress beyond sort of a superficial, hi, how's it going level, a couple things need to happen. One of those is that needs need to be made known. And sometimes we don't want to make our needs known out of maybe fear or out of pride. And other times we don't see needs that are there, or we don't want to meet those needs when we do see them out of selfishness or self-absorbed obliviousness. But friendship involves letting someone else into my messiness and stepping into the messiness that isn't mine. And so friends sort of impose on one another sometimes. Friends let one another in, so that they can love one another on a deeper level. Friends aren't afraid to ask. Friends aren't afraid to be asked. And in fact, the Proverbs warn that you can offend a friend if you don't ask for their help when they're ready and able to give it out of love. And instead, if you seek out a much more difficult or distant solution to your problem, it can potentially offend a friend who was eager and willing to help you had you come to them and simply asked. Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your friend or a friend of a family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. And so sometimes we should make our needs known to friends, because friends in love seek to meet one another's needs. Proverbs 3:27 through 28 talks about this. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, and when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow, I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Friends in love, friends in kindness, meet the needs of one another. And kindness in Proverbs, similar as faithfulness, is contrasted to something, so is kindness. And so even though, as I said, friends sometimes impose on one another, friends are willing to make their needs known and seek out help from a friend, friends at the same time aren't oblivious or unaware or obnoxious. And those are qualities that can creep into friendship that the Proverbs warn about. Because just as friends sometimes impose on one another as an expression of that bond that is there, they also have boundaries. Friends recognize boundaries and seek to avoid the obliviousness or self-centeredness in which we don't recognize or care when we're overstepping boundaries or overstaying our welcome, so to speak. Proverbs 25:16 says, and 17, if you find honey, eat just enough, too much of it, and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and they will hate you. You see the parallel that is creating there between honey that is a good thing, but a little too much of it can be not so good a thing. Going over to your friend's house is a good thing. That's where friendship happens, in community and hospitality. But a little too much of it, not realizing when it's time to head home for the evening or when it's time to not show up on your friend's door, can bring about a bad result. This proverb recognizes that there can be too much of a good thing, even the good thing that is friendship. And so friends need to recognize boundaries. Friends sometimes recognize the need to give some space. Friends understand that you can wear out your welcome, and so friends ought to seek to see through the obliviousness or repent of the self-centeredness that blinds us from being able to sense when we're wearing out our welcome or not giving enough space or not having some healthy boundaries around our friendships. And the failure or the unwillingness to recognize boundaries, I think, is a failure of respect. It's a failure to respect someone of their own personhood and their own needs and their own space. And it has the potential to turn friendship into something that's supposed to be a thing of give and take mutuality, into a thing that is life-draining taking from someone else. That's not what friendship is supposed to be all about. So obliviousness or lack of awareness can cause you also to simply be obnoxious. And friendships commend, warn against, instead of kindness and grace governing our friendships and thoughtfulness for the other person, it warns us about obnoxiousness. And we looked at this proverb previously, 27:14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. And the speaker of the loud blessing, very early in the morning, when presumably this other person is still sleeping or hasn't had their morning cup of coffee yet and isn't really ready to engage yet, the speaker isn't quite taking into account the situation of the hearer and the likelihood of them being receptive to being approached in this way. And they simply become obnoxious. Another one, perhaps even worse, 25:20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Singing songs to a heavy heart is unkind, and it can cause you to not only be obnoxious, but to be harmful to a friend. This is describing when someone is in a cheery mood and wants to spread that cheerfulness to a friend, but when it ought to be clear that that friend isn't in the frame of mind or spirit for cheerfulness. And showing kindness requires the awareness that comes from getting outside of my world and my feelings and having the eyes to see what's going on in someone else's world, and not expecting them to want to be cheerful with me because I'm feeling cheerful, but be willing to give them the space to have their heavy heart and to minister to that heavy heart in a way that would be more readily received. So Proverbs talk about the quality of friendships. And finally, Proverbs, I think, recognizes the limits of friendship. As valuable to life as true friends are, even the best of friends and friendships have limits. And it's important to embrace that reality and recognize that, because when you don't, I think you run the danger of idolizing friends or friendships, trying to make your friends into more than they can ever be for you. And so risking an unhealthy enmeshment or codependency resulting from that, that can then result in bitterness when that person doesn't turn out to be all that you hope they're going to be for you, not because there's anything wrong with them, but simply because they're a human person. Proverbs 14:10 isn't specifically about friendship, but I think it deals with this. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. You see, I think this proverb is talking about a limit to human friendships. Even the best of friends, even the closest of friendships, sometimes have a lack. They lack something that we all want in friendships. And that is this type of deep and perfect intimacy where there is true knowledge between one and the other. No human friend can know you perfectly. No human friend can know you perfectly and can ultimately provide for you that perfect intimacy that human hearts and souls crave and need. Each heart knows its own bitterness. No one else can share its joy. That's true on a human level. But there is a friend who can meet all the deepest of our human needs and longings in a perfect way. There is a friend who knows even the most bitter feelings of our hearts and even the deepest joys that our soul has perfectly. John 15:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." And Jesus here contrasts servants and friends, and he seems to suggest that the difference in this case between a friend and a servant is that a friend has privileged closeness and intimacy that a servant lacks. And that's what Jesus gives us. Jesus gives us privileged closeness and intimacy that is unmatched in any other place we would seek to find it. That doesn't mean we don't need human friends. We do. We need human friends even when we have a divine friend. But we need Jesus more. And we can't try to put any friend in the place or role of Jesus in our life. Jesus is the truest friend. The most perfect, most faithful friend who never lets us down and does know perfectly what bitterness we feel in life, because he, fully God and fully human, in the person of Jesus, felt it and has empathy towards us in that. And not only that, but he shares perfectly what joy we have in life, because it all comes from him. And knowing him and knowing his love is what gives us the love we need to be a loving friend. And knowing him and knowing his love is what gives us the strength we need to be a friend when it's hard to endure the failures of others, even those that were supposed to be our friends. And it's what gives us the grace to forgive others when our friends fail us, and the grace we need when we fail as friends. Living out the gospel, knowing the love of Jesus, and having the humility that results from that is how we can pursue and cultivate and build and strengthen and preserve friendships. Because in Jesus, we have love and grace and strength. Now, John 15, earlier in that chapter that I read from before in verses 12 and 13. Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus did that for us when we were his enemies to make us his friends. We are called to do that for one another. We live in a lonely world, a world in which isolation from one person to the next seems to only increase every day. And the church ought to be a beacon of shining light in that by being a place of friendship, being a place where friendship is given and received, where friendship is sought after and worked on and not given up at the first sign of difficulty but persevered in, where friends forgive one another, where friends love one another selflessly instead of just seek to get something from someone else. Maybe you need a friend, or maybe you can be a friend to someone who needs a friend. That's the kind of place the church ought to be. I hope that the gospel then enables us as individuals and as a church to be generous with our friendship, and that it enables us to be gracious friends to one another. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are our friend, and that through Jesus we have been reconciled to you, and that Jesus showed us the greatest love by laying down his life for our salvation to bring us near to you. That you know us perfectly. You know all of our faults and failures, and you accept us anyway. And in that, we find the intimacy that we long for. I pray that our friendship with you would be the strength and the fuel for our friendship with one another. I pray that you would help us to be faithful, loving, kind friends. I pray that you would help us to be friends who are willing to step into the messiness that friendship sometimes brings. Friends who are willing to meet needs with selflessness. Friends that are willing to be faithful through the difficulties of life and through the hard times. Friends that stick closer than a brother. Friends that are true. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.